Welcome to You Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. I am Michael, a senior at Round Valley High School, and I am joined today with
Lorraine Fulwider from Round Valley High School. Today our topics are parenting in the 21st century and who needs libraries. We will discuss how parenting appears to us as teenagers and how it may have changed over the past few generations. We will also talk about how libraries serve us in the upcoming referendum in Mendocino County to create a digital sales tax to keep our libraries open. We are teenagers who have spent our entire lives being parented. None of us have had children. We know how we have been brought up, and every situation is unique. But we have been thinking about trends and changes in the roles of parents and how the media is presenting teenage moms. Parenting may be the most difficult job and the most important responsibility one can undertake in a life. Yet there is little or no formal training in how to be effective, nurturing parent. Usually people raise their children in the same way they were raised, or the complete opposite, depending on their opinion of the parenting they received. There are no clear guidelines about the correct way to parent.
There are many social changes that affect your parent style. For example, if both parents need to work, there is much less time to spend fostering emotional and intellectual development. Or if someone is single parenting children, there may be even more of a squeeze for time. When the economy recedes and inflation climbs, financial struggles can severely impact the material comfort that parents wish to provide for their children. Many segments of American culture lack the benefit of extended families, especially the roles that grandparents can play. Being Native Americans from Covelo, we have been raised with a much stronger tradition of elder respect and involvement in family affairs. There are fewer limits on the extended family in a tribal world. It is interesting that in the American culture, there is an increase in the number of women that put off childbearing until their late 30s. While there is another recent trend that popularizes and glorifies teenage motherhood, many women want to establish careers or remain unencumbered until middle age approaches, and technology has been effective in making later conception possible. As a result, there are many number of people graduating from high school with parents who are nearly 60 years old.
In the past two decades, the U.S. teen birth rate has declined by 37%, though our teenage pregnancy and birth rates are by far the highest in the developed world. In the past couple of years, reality television has examined the lives of some teenage mothers, sometimes glamorizing, sometimes revealing the difficult problems that come along with unprepared early parenthood. Shows like Teen Mom and 16 and Pregnant have created a frenzy about teenage girls who become unexpectedly pregnant. Sarah Paulin's daughter, Bristol, famously gave birth to an unplanned child at 18, and the award-winning movie Juno presented a successful vision of a 16-year-old choosing to raise her unplanned child. A generation or two ago, teenage pregnancy was treated as tragic and an embarrassment to the family. Generations before that, giving birth as a teenager was well within the norm. There were worries that TV shows glamorizing teen pregnancies may encourage more young women to have unprotected sex. With the majority of marriages in California ending in divorce, many children are raised in multiple households with various parents and step-parents. While a generation or two ago this was considered irresponsible parenting, the moral stigma has lessened and having several households is quite normal.
Another change in parenting is the emergence of same-sex parents. Choosing to have children, women couples choosing to get pregnant, and men couples adopting or finding surrogate mothers. There are parents who enter into same-sex relationships and raise their children. It is easy to fall into judgment about how people raise their children. We are not here to present what we think is morally right or wrong, but we do want to discuss with your assistance what changes in parenting we see emerging in the 21st century. We will begin this show by describing how we have been parented and what we think might be the changes in how people raise the next generation. We will get a call in from a former Youth Speaks Out host who is raising her son while attending College of the Redwoods in Eureka. We will talk for about 30 minutes. Then we will open the phone lines for your ideas, experiences, and insights. We are in the Willett studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. Lorraine, could you describe your family and how you have been raised?
Well, from when I was a little girl, all I can remember was it was me, my sister, and my mom. And she was a single mother raising us. She had two jobs. We barely saw her ever. We saw most of our babysitters and daycare people. And when I turned 14, we moved to Vallejo. Things got really different out there. Our father got in the picture, and things got a lot easier, I would say. And then we moved to Covelo, and everything got really easier. What about you, Michael?
Well, I was raised by both my parents ever since I was born. My parents did have children with other people, but I was the oldest out of their children together. So I guess I didn't really get to experience the whole single parent thing, but living with both my parents, I was able to learn from both of them, and they were both working ever since I was, up until I was maybe 14 years old, when they finally realized that I would be leaving them soon. My mother has a part-time job currently, and my father works, doesn't even work at all, because he wants to be at home with his kids, and that's how it's been. Right, currently, I'm living in Covelo with my grandfather and brother because my parents moved to Willits. And, yeah. So. Lorraine.
Hmm?
Do you think you benefited from having a single parent, or was kind of...
No, because I don't really know my dad that well. And sometimes thinking about it, I'd like to know him, but... Knowing my mother, she's... basically like my mom and dad put together in one person.
So you said you had a lot of child, like, babysitters growing up, and what do you think about that? Do you feel like you were kind of parented by many people, or?
No, not necessarily, because the daycare people, they didn't really act as parents. Like, all we really did was play around, watch movies, and all that other stuff. And then they sent us home.
So do you think you were properly prepared for the world?
Properly prepared for the world. Wow. I would have to say no.
Why is that?
Because there's a lot of stuff I could have had, like, a lot that I missed out on.
Like, if your mom was there more often, you guys could have talked more about what you could have been doing in the future. Instead, she was off working, didn't really have enough time to be with you and your sister.
Or, how about if my dad was around more often and my mom wouldn't have to work that much?
Yeah, so.
Then I'd be able to see my mom every day.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, it's going, and it's still going.
So what about your sister? How do you think she feels about this?
My sister, I don't really know, because we have our own different opinions on almost everything, and... her opinion's always negative, and I don't like that, so.
So you're the upbeat, happy person, and she's the
I'm sad. Not saying that, but she's more negative than I am.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Well... I have 13 siblings, and I'm the middle child, and so we definitely have our ups and downs, and I know my currently younger brother, who's like 16 years old, I think, we and him just got in a big old fight just yesterday, and there was a lot of drama. My mom got all pissed off at both of us and grounded both of us, and I was like, I'm just going to go home, and she's like, no, you're not. I'm like, fine. So.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of fighting nowadays with parents and their kids.
What about the lack of extended family? Like,
the
in
what?
Your family, do you have extended family in Coppola?
Yeah, I would say I would. I mean, I have my auntie, and I mean, I have family in Coppola, but... I don't know. I don't know. I never really got to know my native side of my family all that well. Still meeting new people.
What about grandparents? Have you noticed that more grandparents are raising their grandchildren than their actual parents are?
Uh-huh. Yeah, most of my friends, like, almost all of my friends, not all, but almost all, every time I go to their house, I'm always being introduced by a grandparent. And rarely ever an actual mother or father, but a grandparent. And I think it's pretty cool, because they always have their stories to tell, they always have stuff from the past they like to bring up. And I'm a big fan of sitting there and listening to their stories, so it works out for me.
But how do you feel about, like, the children being raised by their grandparents and not their actual parents?
How do I feel about it?
Do you think they're happy, or...
It depends on... I'm gonna say it depends on how they were raised, because some kids don't like the way their grandparents want to do things. And so it makes it kind of irritating and stuff, because they're old school, you know? They like stuff from the past, the rules and all that, but we're in the present, and...
So you're saying it depends on the grandparents?
Uh-huh, yeah. Because some grandparents, okay, they're cool, and then some grandparents, depending on how they are in situations.
Like, it depends on if the grandparents are living in 1940s and some parents living, ooh, in the 21st century with the whole technology advancement and all that.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about teen parenting?
Teen parenting, man. I don't really have a lot to think about teen parenting, because I don't know. I'm sorry.
What do you think about the media trying to make it look like parenting is a good thing at teenage years?
I don't think the media makes it look like it's good, because the media is like, I don't know. It seems all played out.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
In real life, teen parents, they wouldn't be able to do a lot of fun stuff, a lot of good stuff that the ones on TV are doing.
So you're jealous of the TV shows?
I'm not a teen parent.
What do you think about middle-aged parents?
Middle-aged parents? I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they want to get their stuff done. They want to go through college, get their job, be ready for their child to be there, be ready to have stuff prepared for their kids.
So you're saying it's probably better for them to be middle-aged because they'll already have their, like, career set down? And
I think it's mature for those that...
Yeah.
Like, okay, school and work.
What about raising children in separate homes?
I don't really know how to answer that, because I never lived in separate homes.
Hmm.
And what about you?
Well, I know it can be hard for the kids. I mean, you're having to choose between your parents. Like, you only get to see your parents, like, half of the week, and you have to go see the other one for the other half, and you don't get to see them together like you wish you would, and it's hard.
Well, now that you since you said that, I just thought about my little brother. He had to go through that before. Oh, okay. We're going to have a guest join us on telephone. She is Janelle Setko, a voice familiar to longtime listeners of You Speaks Out. Janelle did many shows while attending Laytonville High School. She now lives in Eureka with her one-year-old son, James, and attends College of the Redwoods. While working at the Ferndale Children's Center, Janelle, thank you for joining us. What thoughts do you have about our parenting topic?
Hi, guys. First of all, I want to say I'm really glad you're doing this show. I think it's a great idea, and it's also really interesting to hear your experiences from Covelo, because it's such an isolated community, you know, and there is a higher Native American population there. Like you guys said earlier, sometimes there's different family structures. So I was really interested to hear about that. I did have a couple questions for you guys. You mentioned that your mom was a single mom, and you sort of felt like she had to be the mom and the dad put together. And so I was wondering how did that, you know, having your mom and your dad sort of be the same person, do you think that affected her parenting? Do you think she had to be more strict because there wasn't, you know, another parent to be the authority figure? I was also wondering, what did you miss about having two parents? Did you feel like you didn't have different people to get advice from? I've noticed it seems like the two parents could have totally different advice on ways to handle situations. So I was wondering, did you feel like you missed out on any of that? Or do you feel like your mom was sort of able to cover all of those, all different bases at the same time?
My mom being a single parent, I think she did an actual really good job because she was able to, like, make it. Like, mm-hmm. She was there, like, she's like my best friend. I get to tell her anything, and it's not hard, and I don't think I missed out on having two parents, because she's them, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually really great to hear. My mom was a single parent also for most of my life, but she sort of, I think she was a good parent, and she definitely did her best, but she was definitely more strict, I think, because, you know, she was the only one there to enforce the rules. So while I do feel close to her, it's not really, I'm not sure I would say that she was my best friend just because she sort of had to take that role of being the authority figure in my life. So it's really great to hear that your mom was able to do all of that. And you know, with along with working, and yeah. So I'm glad you guys have such a good relationship now. That's really great to hear. Let me see. I'm sorry. So you said that you have 13 siblings, and are you the oldest? Is that right?
I'm the middle child, so middle I'm number child. 7.
Okay. My question was, do you feel like you had two parents, is that right?
Yes.
Were they both working up until recently, until you were 14, right?
Yeah.
And so when they were both working, being the middle child, I guess, maybe you experienced both. I was wondering, do you feel like you sort of, for your younger siblings, did you sort of take the role of another parent? Or the opposite, do you feel like you were able to turn to your older siblings, you know, for advice when your parents weren't around? Were they sort of like another extended family for you?
Well, being the older child, being the middle child, I was kind of picked on by my older siblings. But when it came down to it, my older siblings did help me out a lot with the problems I had with my younger ones. And it was really hard when the older ones turned 18 and actually had to go out and get on with their own lives, and so it kind of left me with the responsibility of being the older sibling, and so I think they helped me a lot in preparing me for that. But my parents, they always found time for us, so it was nothing like we were on
our own. And that's great that now they're able to spend more time with you guys. So I did want to mention, and this sort of reminded me financial, you know, like you said that your mom was working all the time, financial issues, I, in my experience thus far being a parent, are actually a huge issue. And so that's why I'm so glad that your parents are able to spend more time with you guys now, because for me, I just got a full-time job, and I'm very excited about that, and it's sort of necessary. But because of that, you know, I've had to make certain sacrifices. I was planning on going to school full-time. I'm actually dropping down to half-time now because I just don't have time to do all of those things. My son is going to be going to the daycare center where I work, and so I'm going to see a lot less of him, which is something that concerns me. You know, another reason why I was glad to hear that you're able to spend more time with your parents now, you know, and that you guys feel like your parents are people who you can talk to, because I'm sort of, you know, just in the beginning of the other situation, you know, being a parent and trying to figure out how I'm going to do all of these things, you know, school and work, and still be a good mom and be able to, you know, play with my kids. I want him to think that I'm his friend, you know, when he's older. I want us to be able to talk. So I was really happy to hear you guys talk about that. And there was one specific thing that I really wanted to mention. You guys were talking about teen parents, and, you know, in the media now, all those ridiculous shows. I'm really glad to hear you guys agree that they're obviously fake and ridiculous, and that you guys don't think that would be the reality of being a teen parent. There is this really cool video that was done in Mendocino County, and I watched it in one of my child development classes at Mendocino College. And the movie is called Mommy, Daddy, Wait for Me, and it's about, it was done as part of a community foundation grant, I think, and it was about the young parent program at Ukiah High School, and apparently I read an article about it online. You can access it if you just type in Mommy, Daddy, Wait for Me. It comes right up, and the article is really interesting because there are, you know, four or five teen parents that graduate from Ukiah High School every year. And I thought that was great that they are, you know, that there are people that are working with these teen parents and helping them graduate so they can actually, you know, get a decent job and getting help raising their children. So the video is sort of about that, and it's a really good video. It's mostly teenagers talking about their experiences as teen parents, and that's what I really like about it. I think it's interesting. It's not just a bunch of adults, you know, trying to talk to teenagers about things that the adults maybe don't understand. And one of the stories that really stuck with me, especially, you know, after the media tries to glamorize teen pregnancy, there was a girl on there who was talking about the stretch marks on her stomach and on her legs after she was pregnant for 9 months and gave birth. She was talking about how her body just doesn't look the same, and she, you know, she can't wear a bikini ever again. And, you know, she looked like, you know, she liked to make herself look nice and do her hair and her makeup, so she was pretty bummed about that. And it seems like a small thing compared with everything else, but it was just sort of something that you wouldn't really think about, you know, when you think about how, you know, 15 or 16-year-olds who get pregnant, how their life changes after that. So I really wanted to, if there are any teachers listening, which I know there's often are, I read as part of the article that because of the Community Foundation grant, the video will be distributed for free to all junior and senior high schools in Mendocino County. So if you want some more information about that, you can call Susan McConnell, and her number is 467-4151. That's 707-467-4151. So I wanted to bring that up. Thank you guys for having me on the show, because I was really excited about that video when I saw it, and I wanted to try to let people know.
Do you think every parent could benefit from taking child development classes?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm glad you reminded me of that. I think it is a really good idea, and that's part of what at the Young Parent Program at Ukiah High, I think that's part of what they do is parent education, because a lot of teen parents are statistically, their children are at risk for, developmental disorders and health issues and things like that. And it's not exactly because their parents were teenagers. It's just because teen parents are often maybe not as educated as, like you guys were saying, middle-aged people who are choosing to have their children after they've, gotten college degrees and have their life together. Mm-hmm. Teen parents are often have less money, it's difficult for them to get services, stuff like that. So I think that is something that child development classes can help. If you understand normal children's development and you understand the importance of not smoking around your child, feeding your child healthy meals, those sorts of things that, maybe some teenagers don't have experience with that, and not because, they're not willing to be good parents, but just because that's maybe they're the younger sibling and they just don't know a lot about raising kids. So I think that is actually a really good idea, even for any parent, as a matter of fact, I think. It's really been helpful for me, so I feel comfortable about what's going on and making sure, everything's fine with my son, making sure he's healthy. So I wanted to ask you guys, and I think it'll be interesting since there's a middle child and a child with one other sibling.
She's also a middle child.
I think if you all of a sudden had to be a parent, do you think you guys would be prepared for that? Do you think it would be confusing? How would you guys feel? Or what do you think you would need to be prepared, just in that circumstance if you happen to be in that situation?
I know that I don't plan on having kids for a long, long time, but
yeah.
If I did happen to have a child, I would have to go to my parents for their guidance, and because I would not know the first thing to do. I mean, I have six younger siblings, and I still don't know how my parents do it. So
yeah, do you feel like your parents would be supportive of you in that situation?
They would be as supportive as they can. They would probably be curious as to why I was so stupid to do it, but because they know I'm not ready for a child, and so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a sibling of, five.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
I thought I'd just put that out there so no one thinks I'm trying to cut out my other brothers and sisters.
Okay.
But, when I was 16, I actually wanted a kid, and I did try, but it didn't really work out for me, so as the months went by and stuff, things got different. I have a little brother, he's 3 now, but as he was growing up, I would be, the main person to help him out with stuff, and even my auntie, one day, I just came home, sat on the couch, started doing homework, and he comes running up and sits on my lap and gets all in my face. And my auntie looked at me and she was like, "That's what it's like to be a teen mom." I was like, "What?" But I don't want kids. Thinking about it now, the way things are going, the way things are happening and stuff, kids, I'm not even a parent, but they seem really hard to raise, and I don't want to go through that.
On that video, there was another girl who was talking about her experiences, and I think her child was, 2 or 3 by that time. And she was saying that she got pregnant on purpose when she was really young, 15 or 16 or something. And she did it because she was lonely, and she thought if she had a child in her life, then, you know, everything would magically start working and would be better, and she would be happy, and everything would be great. But then she realized, you know, a few months after her child was born, that it's sort of the opposite. Everything that's wrong in your life, mm-hmm. or everything that, you know, you have trouble with, if you have a child, that sort of is magnified, you know,
yeah.
I'd say about 26 times. so I thought that was interesting, that I was glad that she was willing to talk about that, and that she had sort of realized that while she did love her child, it did complicate her life so much, and everything was so much harder, you know, so she decided that she didn't really think that was a great decision after all. Although it's sort of one of those things where you can't undo that. And once you're in that situation, most of the time, you don't have a lot of other options. Obviously, there are always other options. It's just adoption, stuff like that. But that's something that's hard to do, I think, even for parents who weren't planning on having children.
Yeah.
Can I hope you guys don't take this the wrong way. I just want to know, you know, in your education or in your experiences, do you guys feel like you're educated about the birth control options out there?
No.
Do you guys feel like you have access to those things?
We have access, but we're not really educated about it.
Okay.
I don't think so, because every time I go to the doctors, they'll have, like, 5 new things they pull out, and they'll be like, you have choice of this, and I'll be like, I don't even know what none of that is. So it's the only thing I really know is the shot and the pills.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's like so many new options lately. I did peer counseling for a long time because of that. I learned a lot about different birth control options. And I think I at some point could name about a dozen different types of birth control. So it's pretty crazy. Since we're here talking about teen parents, I thought I'd slip in there. One of the new types of birth control that I'm using right now is called Implanon, and it's actually really nice. I'm really happy with it, and the good thing about it is that it works for 3 years, not until you have to take every day. It's one doctor's office visit and then 3 years, and you're covered. So I'm really happy about that, and want to slip that in there and let people know. It's a really great option, I think. And it has similar side effects to other types of birth control, and it's called Implanon. Had you guys heard of that before?
Nope.
This would be the first time I heard it.
Okay. Well, you should check it out. It seems a little bit scary at first, just because it's kind of weird. It's this little tiny thing that they put in your arm. But it doesn't hurt at all. They give you a shot in Novocaine or something in your arm, and it's easier than going to the dentist.
Yeah, I know a girl that has that, now that you said it, because I didn't know what it was called, but she just moved her arm and there was something sticking out of it, and I was like, what is that? And she said it was for birth control.
And it looks a little weird, but it doesn't hurt or anything, so I'm really excited. And there are lots of other options also. Do you guys, in Covelo, do you guys have a good Planned Parenthood provider at your clinic? Do they have Planned Parenthood?
No, not necessarily. They don't.
They don't? Is it just like a regular clinic?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. There's, in Laytonville, I know there's a really good, at the health center there, a really good Planned Parenthood program, and everything is super confidential. You know, your parents wouldn't necessarily find out any information because they don't mail things to you or call specific phone numbers unless you say it's okay. And there are programs like that in Willits and Ukiah also.
Right on.
We have a question for you.
Okay.
What are your future plans in education?
So the job I got is as a preschool teaching assistant. And that is actually, I have an associate's degree in child development, which I'm really excited about, but I'm trying to get my bachelor's degree. And so what's happening right now is a lot of teachers, as of now, preschool teachers or teachers at daycare centers, they have associate's degrees, and that is considered acceptable. But the rules are changing, and soon we're planning on passing new legislature that says you have to have a bachelor's degree to be a lead teacher in a preschool classroom, which I think is good for the children, definitely, because I think it is important to be well-educated so that you can do the best job you can. But it makes it hard for the rest of us who are struggling to go to school and still be able to afford to exist. So I'm hoping to get my bachelor's degree in the next couple years, but I know, even though I already have a lot of schooling, basically, you know, 2 years of full-time schooling, it's probably going to take me another 3 or 4 years, I would guess, to get my bachelor's degree. So I'm hoping I can do that and stay teaching preschool or working with infants and toddlers. So that's my goal, but, you know, it's just really hard doing it with a child because, like I was saying, he is going to have to go full-time into childcare now, and that's a little scary for me because I'm going to be spending a lot less time with him. So I kind of worry about that. You know, I would like to only work part-time and be able to spend time with him, but that's sort of not an option, especially in today's economy. It's really hard to find jobs right now. I'm sorry, did that answer your question?
Yeah.
I rambled on.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for doing this show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sorry, are you guys going to do callers?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. I'll get off the phone and let them have the line. Hopefully a lot of people call in because I think this is a really good topic.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Thank you guys again. You guys are doing a really good job, by the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about parenting in the 21st century. Do you think that parenting has changed in the 21st century? In what ways? If you are a parent and there are no more challenges now than when you were growing up, did you model your parenting after your parents or as a reflection of their methods?
What do you think of the popularization of teen pregnancy as seen in reality TV shows like 16 and Pregnant? Do you know teen mothers that turned out to be great parents? Are children of divorced parents at a disadvantage? Do you think that children who grow up in multiple households have some of the benefits that the tribal model offers? What are the keys to successful parenting?
The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on parenting in the 21st century. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm not a teen, obviously. Wish I was. I'm really confused. Why don't you guys have any sort of sex education in school? I mean, I don't mean to be sound like I know anything, but it sounds like, as you're talking, that's probably just one of the most important things a young person can do. And so many children don't have, I mean, when they have control, they don't have control of their own bodies. Why is it that the schools aren't teaching even the basic ways to protect yourself?
They are. It's not offered all 4 years of high school. They do it with health, which is in your sophomore year. And before that, they do it in junior high and before that and
but,
before that.
But I don't mean to interrupt you, but the young lady there didn't know about any of the birth control ideas. And she was thinking about having a baby when she was like 16. I mean, no offense. I don't mean that offensive. I just,
none taken.
Well, I guess I'm trying to ask, if it is being taught in all those years and how come you didn't know about it?
She knew about it.
I'm going to take it on the air. Okay, I'll take the answer on the air.
Okay. Well, I haven't lived in Covelo all my life. I've been in three different places. and being out there, I never really paid attention and did any of the stuff I was supposed to do, so I never really went to the classes. So I was a hard-headed child. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, I didn't like school then.
I hope that answers your question. So really?
Mm-hmm.
The number is 456-9991. Please call and be part of this discussion on parenting in the 21st century. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Some things, the whole education thing, wow, where do I start? I thought it was really strange when that other gal that called said, was asking both of you, you know, if you happened to find yourself as a parent.
Yeah.
Now, that seems weird to me, because how would you just happen to find yourself as a parent? It's almost like, in this culture, whatever this culture is, there's this disconnect between sex and procreation, you know, and surely we could get that far with sex education, you know. And so I guess one thing I would ask is, what do you guys think? And of course, as young people, you don't have a lot to compare it with, but what do you think about how sex has been separated from procreation and is, I guess it's just seen as a form of recreation or comfort? And I'm also wondering how does that make young people feel, and what kind of pressure does that put on young people? I mean, it used to be where, it could be like, you know, you don't have sex before and outside of marriage because sex makes babies, and babies are children and vulnerable human beings, and they need families, you know. And we've whittled away most of the extended family down to the nuclear family so that everybody could work for the industries and corporations and whatnot. And then, you know, so we ended up with single-parent households even before the high divorce rates. And then it's like now this, like, you know, so it used to be a child, you know, girls or boys could just stand up and know they had the backing of their parents, the adults in the community, and the society's, you know, ethics or mores standing behind them when they said, no, I don't want to have sex. I'm too young, and I'm unmarried. Where is that support now? So I'm kind of interested to what you guys think about that.
I'm sorry. It's a complex question.
And you probably, like I say, you don't really have anything to compare it to, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just hoping some adults are listening, and it's like, what are we laying on our children? What, you know, what are we're expecting our, you know, I don't know, the whole thing. It's just, you know, and when I was growing up, it was already falling apart, you know. But you don't, you know, sex is, you know, is how we're designed. You know, and then people even get confused about, you know, what gender they are. You know, I mean, it really doesn't have to be that confusing. And it just seems like if the adults were being more adult, you know, instead of making the children, you know, make these decisions that were you know, basically already, they're already made biologically, you know. We are male and or female, and if we have reproductive organs, they're reproductive organs, you know. And if we use them that way, we can pretty much expect, and what are the options? Some weird chemical, something stuck to your arm, things that give you cancer, you know, things that make you sick.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Or
no caller.
Caller in there.
Hi, sorry, that's me again, Janelle. I just wanted to really quick respond to that caller's point, which I thought was a really interesting point. I phrased my question that way because I think a lot of parents nowadays happen to be unplanned parents, so it's sort of, you happen to find yourself in that situation, meaning most young people don't plan nowadays on having children. They are doing something and that they think perhaps will not lead to that. And so I think that maybe misconception nowadays is because it used to be where if you do this, if you have sex, it will result in children. Now, I think with so many options for birth control, that isn't necessarily the case. But I think the problem is that some people don't really understand birth control. And so they don't understand that, yes, you may not get pregnant if you use this, but it has to be used correctly. And with things like the pill, which is one of the most common methods, it's often not used correctly. You have to take the pill every day around the same time of the day or it won't work. So I think that is sort of where the confusion is. In my experience, when I was in high school, and I think a lot of other things people, young people now don't realize, is that when you use condoms, those are only around, I can't remember the exact number, 67% effective or something. So that does not necessarily mean that you will not get pregnant. But because birth control is so common nowadays, I think that is the misconception that any sort of birth control will mean that you do not get pregnant, and that isn't necessarily the case. I'm sorry, I just wanted to mention that. But I would like to get off the air so that other people can call in.
Okay. Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Really good subject today, and I actually had a question dealing with the fact of, you know, today we kind of live in this kind of cyber social networking kind of world now where computers have kind of really taken over the time that youth is, you know, instead of free time being like in the parks and stuff like that, seems like, you know, with the computers and the cell phones and stuff like that. And you've got like all these social networks like Facebook, and then you've got, I would say, you know, just all the stuff, the time spent on the internet. There's a lot of problems, you know, like with the bullying going on. You hear of those things happening on news where kids are getting bullied over the internet. There's all the sexting going on, and you got identity theft and all those kind of things. And, you know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, what do you think the parents' role should be for that kind of stuff? When I was a kid, we didn't have to worry about that stuff. It was like my parents told me, you know, make sure you're not talking to strangers, make sure that you get home before it gets dark, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it seems like now, it's just, to me, it just seems really kind of scary with all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, with the Facebook and all that kind of stuff, it's all private when, you know, it can be done anywhere, and it seems like another facet where, you know, parents have to worry about making sure that the kids are getting, you know, the right information on this. I don't know if, you know, are they educating, kids in school with this, or do you think this should be something that's done specifically at home? Because this is something that's really new on the scene, you know. It's, you know, we've only had to really deal with this for the past 10 or 15 years as opposed to, you know, the other issues have been around forever. So, you know, I'll go ahead and take my answer, you know, off the phone, or I'll go ahead and hang up. But I was just kind of wondering, what do you think the role of, you know, parenting today with technology being such an important component of it? So Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All I could say is, all you can do is hope for the best, because there is a lot of security on the internet these days, and I know my Facebook's heavenly guarded. My mom and dad will never get my password. Same thing with my yearbook and Yahoo. No way in heck.
Yeah, it depends on how the parents are, I guess. How old the child is that has a Facebook. Because, you know, some kids, they would be like, what, 6, 7 on Facebook? That, yeah, they have no business being on Facebook. What do they
level.
Got to do? What are they going to do? Sit there, I'm playing with candy. I'm playing with my Barbie. Facebook, I don't think Facebook's for certain aged people. But older people, they should know how to use it well. But, yeah, we're going to move on to who needs libraries. We are going to talk.
I'm a child of the library. It made me who I am. Taught me about freedom and the fellowship of man. A sea of story waits for you inside the library door. Don't say we can't afford it anymore. The library's where I've made some friends I've known my whole life through. The Walkers and the Blacketts and the Pevensies, so true. Simp the Canine, Cannonball, Galadriel the Fair. The daughter of a pirate king and Paddington the Bear. I'm a child of the library. It made me who I am. Taught me about freedom and the fellowship of man. A sea of story waits for you inside the library door. Don't say we can't afford it anymore. I've travelled south with Shackleton and all his gallant crew, and through the African interior that Mary Kingsley knew. I rode the trackless prairie where bison used to roam. I've flown around the universe, not half an hour from home. I'm a child of the library, it made me who I am. Taught me about freedom and the fellowship of man. A sea of story waits for you inside the library door. Don't say we can't afford it anymore. And as I grew, the library fed my curiosity. All there for the asking, and all of it for free. It's there I found the stories I couldn't find at home. It's there I learned I was myself and not my father's clone. I'm a child of the library, it made me who I am. It taught me about freedom and the fellowship of man. A sea of story waits for you inside the library door. Don't say we can't afford it anymore. So make friends with your library, don't let it fade away. Teach your kids the libraries where you go on Saturdays. Don't let the bastards tell you they will cost too much to save. While they're shoveling your taxes down the hole the bank has made. I'm a child of the library, it made me who I am. It taught me about freedom and the fellowship of man. A sea of story waits for you inside the library door. Don't say we can't afford it anymore. So make a stand for the library. Stand up while you can. Stand up for your freedom. Stand for your fellow man. Ignorance is never bliss. Don't close the library door. For a library lost is lost forevermore. Last chance. I'm a child of the library. It made me who I am. It taught me about freedom and the fellowship of man. A sea of story waits for you inside the library door. Don't say we can't afford it anymore. For a library lost is lost forevermore.
We are going to talk now. Is it on? Oh. We are going to talk now about the upcoming Measure A, a referendum to add sales tax to support our libraries. If passed by 2/3 of the voters on November 1st, an additional 1/8 of a penny per dollar will be added on to the taxable purchases. This will amount to around $20 per year for the average family. That adds to $1.3 million per year for the next 16 years. This will allow all branch libraries to be open in an additional 17 hours per week and the return of many special programs. Bookmobile service will increase to 3 days per week, and there will be more books, e-books, CDs, and music. You can find out more about Measure A by going on the web to www.yesonourlibraries.org. We are going to talk about how important the library is to us in Covelo, and then we would like to hear from you about how you use our facilities. For the people in Covelo, the libraries are like, it's, if you don't have internet, the library is a really good place to go, because
the libraries are good and are also good in so that you can help do your school projects, college stuff. It's also a good way to get away from your family if you're having trouble, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can also hold conferences there if they have a special room or anything. And they also offer internet. And let's face it, kids today don't really know how to read. They need to learn, so they need to have a place where they can go to learn to read and stuff like that. And so, all they're asking is for 1/8 of a cent on all purchases, taxable purchases, in order to keep the libraries going longer and better. So, yeah. Anything else, Lorraine?
You made me forget.
How do you use the library?
Me and my family, we don't have internet, and the library is a good source for us because we can, for homework, we can look things up. We could go on iTunes and get the songs we need. We could go on Facebook and do all that other good stuff. But yeah, they have a lot of books that have a lot of information about our past backgrounds and our ancestors and all that. It's really fun. It's an interesting place to go to. If you don't have internet at home, the library is a good place to be. But yeah.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Michael Hanover, and
Lorraine Fulwider.
Thanks to all. Thank you to all our callers. One of the purposes of the show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willits Studio. You Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools, Healthy Students Bronco Project, Building Resiliency. Opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please contact Pat Stanborn at 459-5314 or email at psanborn@mcoe.us. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.uspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the first Sunday of October, that's the 2nd, at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in October.
Bye.